Good evening. Have you ever heard of the curse of the Bambino? The curse of that Bambino? I'm sure the baseball fans here at least would know what I'm talking about. The curse of the Bambino refers to the very long time it took the Boston Red Sox to win the World Series after they sold the contract of the Bambino, that is, the great baseball player Babe Ruth, they sold his contract to the New York Yankees. Before they sold Babe Ruth's contract, the Red Sox was the most successful baseball team, winning 5 of the first 15 World Series championships. After they sold Babe Ruth's contract, it took the Boston Red Sox another 84 years to win the World Series. That's the curse of the Bambino. When I was still living in Boston in 2004, there was a traffic sign near the Charles River that read, "Reverse Curve," which is a warning to warn drivers of an upcoming S-curve that could be treacherous if you're not watching. But a Boston Red Sox fan some 33 years prior had changed "reverse curve," that sign, "reverse curve," with some spray paint to read "reverse the curse." That was like kind of like a, you know, almost like a little monument there in Boston. Interestingly, okay, the city allowed the graffiti to stay there for 33 years. in hopes of seeing the curse of the Bambino finally be reversed. But tonight, we will sing and read about a different kind of curse. Tonight's epistle lesson, found on page 404, deals with the curse of the law. What is this idea of the curse of the law that we hear in some hymns and in the Bible? What really is this curse of the law? Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 26 reads this: "Cursed be anyone who does not uphold the words of this law by observing them." In other words, the curse of the law is not keeping God's commandments and the consequences of not keeping his commandments. St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, which we will read from tonight, deals with this. St. Paul understood that no one kept all the commandments of the law and first 5 books of the Old Testament. No one, according to St. Paul, has completely kept God's commandments. So the curse really is the penalty of not keeping the law, which is spiritual death. "Cursed be anyone who does not uphold the words of this law by observing them," as Deuteronomy reads. This seems too difficult to accept. Do we not all sin? Do we not sometimes neglect to follow God's commandments? And not only the commandments in the Old Testament, but also Christ's commandments found in the New Testament, like loving our enemies. Do not all these commandments, instead of being a light for us, do these commandments perhaps become a curse for us due to our own sins? But that is not the whole story. Christ offers the solution to our sinfulness. Christ offers the only way out of our darkness. Christ reverses the curse. How? after Christ was in the form of a man for 33 years on this earth, teaching his commandments, offering his love and light, healing the sick, he did something even more remarkable. He became a curse for us. What does that mean? Christ is without sin. He lived as a human perfectly, never breaking a commandment. But as God, he did something a man could never do. He took on the consequences of sin, the curse of the law, into his own body. In the epistle tonight, we will read about how Christ became a curse for us. Christ took on all the sin, all the human ugliness, all the human suffering and death into his own pure body. In his unspeakable and unimaginable love for us, Christ took on all of the sin and death into his own sinless body, became a curse for us, and utterly destroyed the effects of sin and death by putting sin and death to death on the cross. Christ reversed the curse for us. Back in 2004, the day after the Red Sox finally won the World Series after 84 years, I saw some little local history happen. I drove under the same reverse the curse sign, but there were some people up there by the sign, and that sign was changed to reversed curse. Reversed curse. The curse of Bambino was reversed. The sign was changed after 33 years. I saw the making of a little local Bostonian history. But let's consider now, not a little local history, but our own story. This is something much more significant than the winning of a World Series. Our story never ends. It goes on and on to eternity by God's grace and mercy. But we need to participate in that victory. We know that God has and will always be the winner over sin and death, but we need to participate in Christ's victory, making it our own victory. Christ's victory becomes our victory by God who is love, by loving God, by following his commandments, and by playing close to him on his team, in his holy body, his holy church. May Christ, our true God, who became a curse for us, enlighten and help all of us to always participate in his team so that we too may share in his victory for all eternity. Amen.